This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, look who's back, everybody. Thanks so much for all your well wishes and kind words. It's your old pal Woodsy from Ben and Woods. And yeah, we're all back together. Great to be back. I just said my name. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of the program. Paulie, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Feeling good.
No, you I'm not really. Way better, though. Talked to you on the phone, I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock yesterday.
Dude.
And you sound even much better than yesterday.
I sounded like RFK Jr. yesterday. I really did. I was talking to Paulie and I went, I sound just like RFK Jr. It was no joke. I mean, I really, really did. And I couldn't get the words out. But today they're coming out a little bit better. Not without some pain and suffering. But speaking of pain and suffering, my co-host Ben Higgins is also here. Good morning, Benjamin.
No joy in my life.
It's good to have you back. Yeah,
it's good to be back.
Long night last night at Viejas Arena. We will obviously talk about that. But hello to all the Tier 1s who said hi last night. It was good to see you out there. Some Aztecs fans in our audience, which is always good to see. And unfortunately, San Diego State came up a little short against number 3 Gonzaga. But it was good to see everybody out there.
No foreplay, no nothing.
No, we're not talking about the game. Just wanted to say hello to everybody who said hi to me last night.
A lot of people out there.
But it was late night. I didn't get home until after midnight. So I'm feeling it a little bit this morning, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I've been feeling it. I hate leaving you guys in the lurch yesterday, but there was just no way. There was just no way. It really got gnarly. Like Friday night was probably the worst, and then Saturday. And then I actually went to the doctor on Sunday. I texted you guys. I had to drag poor Taylor along with me and had to ply him with M&Ms. To go to the doctor and not say a word. He did not say one single word. He just sat there like a good boy, shoveling M&Ms in his mouth, which is not my... It was not my best parenting weekend, I can tell you that. Now, I know that some parents out there can relate, but we're not a family that typically does the, hey, man, here's your iPad for 7 hours. On Sunday, after the doctor got home, Bo had baseball practice, a friend took him. When he got home on Sunday, I said, how was practice? He said, great. I said, great. Here's your iPad. Here's your iPad, other brother. No naked women and nothing violent. Other than that, have a ball. I'm going to the next room. If you need me, come get me. If you don't need me, don't bother me. Because I needed to sleep. I needed rest. And to their credit, man, they were absolute superstars all day Sunday. Of course they were. They got their iPad for like 7 hours straight. And it was not my finest moment of parenting. But you got to do it. You got to do it on occasion. That you're going to have those days as a parent. And so that's what I did. And then I woke up. You know, the one good thing about missing work yesterday was that I did get to, for the first time ever, take both of my kids to school. I've never gotten to do it. They were so happy and proud that dad got to take him to school. And I realized I'm missing out on this part. You know, I pick him up mostly every day. But Bo especially was so happy to be able to walk in with his old man. And he was in the best mood. So that was a one good part. As soon as I dropped them off, though, straight back, went right back to bed. Hannah was coming home at about 1 or 2. So I knew I only had a couple hours, man. I had to get laundry going. I had to get the whole house cleaned. It wasn't my best... It wasn't a vacation day. And then the guilt of knowing I left you guys in here to rot was never fun.
Well, we were fine. It was a decent show yesterday. We were more worried about today, if you weren't going to make it back in time. I have plenty of stuff to talk about over the weekend. But yeah, today was like, okay, don't know what's going to happen in the Aztecs game, what we're going to have content-wise. We probably could use Woods back on Tuesday. So we were both happy that you were resting and trying to at least make an effort to get back. And here you are, and actually sounding, I think pretty decent.
You don't think I sound like Leonard Cohen or like Tom Waits? Or
it's
like
not a bad thing, though, right?
A 70s crooner. I was thinking about it this morning driving in, and I thought to myself, how easy was it in the 70s to be a recording artist and get laid? Because all you had to do was just get like a little bit of, just a little bit of like syrupy piano music, and you could just go to the studio. And I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift. A baffled king composing. Hallelujah. That's the whole record. You just talk over real, like, kind of crappy piano music. And I know this because I was listening to Leonard Cohen last night. He just talked over the whole thing. The walls of this hotel are paper thin. Last night I heard you making love to him. I was just going, well, all right, where's the... Like, he wrote the song, so obviously the talent comes out in the through the pen. But, like, you're not even singing, dude. You're just talking over the music.
Is that more of a poem than a song?
Yeah. No? Like, you're just talking a...
Baby Shark.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
I feel like I'm... And maybe you as well, with your rich, syrupy voice. We may have missed our calling in the 70s to be, like, crooners. Just lay something real, just real simple down, and I'm just going to read my new poem over it. I mean, and then, like, all right, put it out. Let's go. Phil Spector produced that record of him just talking. And so I was thinking about it this morning. Like, we missed our window. You couldn't put that out these days. Nobody's buying it.
I assume no one's buying
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I
you
guess
know, everything becomes popular again
true.
In a circle. So it maybe people are ready
around.
For that again.
But I was riding into work this morning thinking to myself, I messed up. I mean, if I could write poems, maybe I would write that stuff down over really simple piano melodies.
Now, and was that an actual song, or were you just making that up on the fly?
Oh, no, I wish I could make that up on the fly. That was two songs. I did Hallelujah and Paper Thin Hotel by the great Leonard Cohen. Yeah, Tom Waits had, you know, San Diego connection. He had that vibe of, like, they always sounded like they were sick, and they just were like, hey, man, I can't sing, so I'm just going to talk. Oh, we got a tier one in there from Ireland this morning. Lido, welcome.
Remember... When I was like 19, worked at Woodstocks by San Diego State, and I made friends with a guy. He was like 2 or 3 years older than me, which even at that age, like 23, you're like, that guy's cool.
Yeah.
And we were like, I was going to his house, we're partying or whatever, and he goes, yo, you want a cigarette? And I was like, ah, no, I'm good. I was like, I didn't know you smoked. And he goes, well, I'm starting to play music again.
Yeah.
And he goes, I want to get that raspy voice.
Of course.
And it hadn't clicked yet at 19 or 20 years old. Like, that's how you can actually make that happen.
Yeah.
And I just go, whoa, that's cool.
I thought you were going to say it was like Tom Waits' son. And he's like.
But the smoking to manipulate your voice specifically for singing.
Tom Waits,
like, that's pretty badass.
Tom Waits ordering Woodstock pizza.
Ron Jeremy did.
Let me get a thin,
oh, really?
Let me get a thin crust.
Not Tom Waits, but Ron Jeremy, if you want to go down that.
Light
the other
on
side
the
of the
cheese. Light on the cheese, heavy on the pepperoni.
As someone who's never smoked a cigarette, obviously I know that, you know, it can have an effect on your voice, but I always assumed it was after like 20 or 30 years. Was he ready to commit to that? Like,
yeah, I need to commit to
20 to 30 years of good heavy smoking to get the voice I'm looking for.
Is he a recording artist?
I don't know. I'll have to track him down and see.
Hurts, dude. God dang.
Oh, don't make Woods laugh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no laughing today at all, man. This is great. Lido's his kid is in school in Ireland. Man, I hope my kid doesn't go to school in Ireland. It would be very expensive, and I think I would miss them too much for them to go away to college in Ireland. But that's pretty cool. He's from Santee.
Does it make a difference if it's a plane ride anyways?
Yeah, it makes a difference. I told Bo and Taylor, like, I want you out of here. You got to get out of this bubble.
Like, if Bo's like, I want to go to play baseball at St. John's University.
Where's that?
New York.
Like, what's the difference, really, between New York and Ireland? Besides, I guess, you know, international flight costs or needing a passport. Like,
I need
that's a long flight either way.
I got 3 hours of either way is where you can go. 3 hour plane ride is about as far as I want you gone. I don't want you here.
Hopefully not west.
Like, if you, yeah. I mean, if USD or SDSU wanted them to play ball, I'd be like, all right, fine. But I really want them to go experience the world. But I need them to be semi-close. Just far enough away where you're not going to be coming by every weekend, you know, but I can come see you whenever I want. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You want to be able to, like, if the mood struck you.
Yeah, just, hey, let's get on a
plane. You could hop on a plane.
Go watch his
and
game.
You could go, and, like, later that day, you could be there.
Yeah.
See them.
They were so sweet when Dad was sick, dude. And that goes miles with me. They're much sweeter to me than my wife. When I'm sick. My wife came home and started cracking the whip. Just, I mean, the minute she walked in the door, it was, let's get this laundry going. I'm like, you got the balls on you. You just walked in the door. You can start ordering fools around. It was single parenting, solo parenting when you're sick. I can't even describe how awful it was.
You're going to find me dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill myself.
Well,
don't ask me to do nothing.
Yeah.
This is nothing.
Yeah, she didn't even ask how I was feeling. She just walked right in the door and she came back and just started dropping hammer on everyone, man. Just dropping the hammer. And I looked at her several times throughout the night. I went, so glad you're home. So good to have you home. So good to have you back.
Did she have a good trip?
She had a great trip.
Well, that's good.
She got to go to see the Rockettes, which she wanted to do, and then once she was about halfway in, she's like, all right, I've had enough. It's like a two-hour show of them just, you know, kicking. Yeah, it just gets... So you could really do it in like 15 minutes, but they drag it out 2 hours. The same day, she drags her mother to see Wicked. On the same day, she goes, we also just found out it's 3 hours long. She said it was fantastic, though. She went to the Knicks-Nets game, she said was phenomenal. She now is active on the campaign to bring an NBA team here to San Diego. She said, I totally get it now. She saw Ben Stiller, Jazz Chisholm, Tom Brady, saw all these stars out at the game. She was like, this is incredible. So they did Wicked, they did the Rockettes, they did the Knicks game, they did went to Peloton.
I don't know that we would have many, if any, celebrities.
Oh, Jason Mraz is here, guys, courtside again.
There's Bernie Wilson.
Why is Bernie catching strays?
He's not. I'm just saying he'll be there.
They show him on the big screen. Hey, how you doing? It's so good. So she loved it.
How is Peloton? Obviously, as an active Peloton user, I've always been fascinated by the people who I see in the studio riding with the instructors.
It's for her. It's her mecca. I mean, it's like spring training for us. Like when we go to spring training, we've been doing it so long, but when we get out there the first morning, you know how we feel? When like guys start walking by and we're like, hee-hee-hee. Like I'm almost 50 years old, but when Manny walks by in the morning on spring training, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. That's how she feels when she's at Peloton. So she loved it, man, but she dragged her mom up and down that city. There, when you go on vacation with Hannah, it is not a vacation. You work. It's work. You are working the whole time. You are moving. She said they walk 15 miles a day. Like, they did not mess around. So she had a great time. Brought the boys back a couple of snow globes. She broke both of them as soon as she walked in the door. So they were devastated about that. So that was a lot of fun. But it was, man, family's back together on the mend, and we'll figure it out.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
You sound pretty good, and we will we'll try to take it easy on you, but should at least be some interesting topics today when we set the menu. Obviously, we will get into our thoughts on Jackson Merrill not winning the Rookie of the Year award yesterday. It was a major topic here.
You know, Dodger fans are tuned in this morning to hear us piss and moan and whine and cry, and you're going to get what you came for. That I can promise you.
No doubt about it. We'll set the menu when we come back. It's good to be all back together again. Paulie Woodsy, myself, Ben Higgins, and I believe Kelly Danick's back as well with traffic coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. You promised plenty of complaints about the Rookie of the Year on this program today. And yes, you will almost certainly get them. I got tons of Dodgers fans in my social media feeds just from one tweet I sent of complaining about the the outcome of the vote yesterday. But when you were out yesterday, Woods, we actually talked about one of the things that sports fans love to do more than anything else is complain. Yeah. It's like our outlet where we can, you know, you can't necessarily go and to work and complain to your boss.
Can't you?
I mean, you can, but you do it. But
not about my boss.
Not everybody feels comfortable enough to actually, inside the halls of their, you know, office, complain about their boss to their boss the way you do it. But in sports, you feel free. Like, hey, I didn't like that. I didn't like the coach. I didn't like the play calling. I didn't like the fight on Friday. And that's, you know, people love complaining about the Netflix stream.
Holy cow, man.
How boring it was and what a waste of time it all was.
Do I get to bring that back?
Please.
That's the funny thing. That's the one thing I missed yesterday. I wasn't talking NFL or college football. I wanted to talk about the fight and the whole scene leading up to it. Later.
Yeah.
Continue.
Well, and I went the other direction. Because I set my expectations very low on Friday, and I was actually pleasantly surprised with the fight and the whole evening and how it went. I felt like it was an enjoyable use of my time. Was it a good boxing match? No. But was the overall evening something that I feel bad that I wasted my time? No, it wasn't at all.
Yeah, it was a sense of community.
That's
though,
what I thought
online.
Too.
Yeah, for sure. Baseball can be that way, and I feel like the community is certainly rallied around our guy Jackson Merrill,
and that's what we have with the Padres. We have our community where we get to share our successes and our failures, our triumphs and our setbacks, and we get to live together through all of those. And yesterday, the Padres, Jackson Merrill in particular, but by extension the Padres and our Padres community of fans, felt like we suffered a little setback.
Yep.
You know, ultimately, it's not a big, you know, meaningful, you know, it's just something that's going to go in a book somewhere. Who won the 2024 National League Rookie of the Year award? And while we feel it should say Jackson Merrill on that page, it's going to say Paul Skeens on that page. And for now, I think most of us are feeling at least somewhat outraged. You can be somewhere on the scale of mildly disappointed to I've seen, you know, nuclear outrage about the outcome of the vote yesterday. And I'm curious to see, and we'll talk about it coming up, where you kind of land on that scale, where Paulie lands on that scale, where I land on that scale of how we're feeling about the vote. Because it certainly was an argument for Paul Skeens.
Sure.
No one is saying that Paul Skeens had a horrible season and he shouldn't even have been nominated and this shouldn't have been close at all. But I also do feel like there was a miscarriage of, if not justice, then of awards presentation yesterday.
Well, for sure. And you know, somebody already made the point in the chat. The players voted Jackson Merrill. And if I said it when it happened. Remember when I said, if I'm Jackson Merrill, that's the one I really care about. You know, that's the one I care about. The writers, not so much. The players voted me the best rookie in the National League.
Unfortunately, the game cares about
exactly,
the baseball writers.
Exactly.
Award.
And you know, we will. Yeah, I mean, this is really where it sums up. Mildly angry, but used to it. Yeah, that's how I felt. When it happened, I went, oh, shocker. Paul Skeens wins it over Jackson Merrill. But ultimately, we'll talk about, you know, what that means and the consequences and what it may do for Jackson Merrill moving forward. Why it actually may be a good thing that he didn't win it yesterday. I mean, we know Jackson a little bit. We know Jackson actually a lot. And we know where his head's at. Would he have wanted to win that award yesterday? Yeah. Is he going to lose any sleep over it? No. Is he going to use it as fuel? No, he doesn't need it. He's already got enough fuel. That kid is fueled by winning a World Series.
I said yesterday, like during the season, especially in the second half, he was asked almost every
almost
day.
Almost daily.
Hey, you're climbing the charts in the rookie of the year. Like, how does that feel? And he's, I don't care. I just want to win tonight.
Yeah.
Or I'm just glad we got the win.
I said the same thing.
And I believed him. But I think once the season ends and the offseason starts to sink in, I do think he did want it.
Sure.
Once you're a finalist, once you're setting up to go on your Zoom with MLB Network,
yep,
and you're going live in 20 minutes, you're like, all right, well, I'm here. Like, I might as well win this thing now. You know he wanted it.
Doesn't take a damn thing away from that monster season of his. Not a damn thing.
So there will be plenty of discussion of yesterday's Rookie of the Year results. And, of course, today we'll find out about the Manager of the Year. I'm prepping myself for a little more Mike Schilt disappointment today because you'd probably be...
Hi, this is Mike Schilt.
Schilty.
You'd probably be kind of dumb if you weren't prepping yourself for disappointment after the results that have come in so far. But we'll talk about that coming up. Obviously, we will get into last night's college basketball game at Viejas Arena. I was there in person watching San Diego State take on a very... very good, very experienced Gonzaga team that is number three in the country for a reason. And while they never really had a chance to pull off an upset, they also didn't get blown off the floor.
100%.
And I thought that they at least looked like they belonged in the same
gym
category, class as Gonzaga. They're not as good as Gonzaga, but maybe by the end of the season, as you get a little more experience, you could even close the gap a little bit. Love to see that matchup again sometime in March if the Aztecs get that opportunity. So we'll talk some San Diego State basketball. We've got our regular features like Take on Woods. Johnny did another nice job for you yesterday.
Did he win?
He did win again.
Oh, boy.
And we teased the potential showdown between you and John on our Christmas and holiday extravaganza next month.
Yeah, we need like an hour. I mean, it's going to be, we need like a long, drawn-out game. It's going to be something.
It's going to be an extended game for sure to determine a grand champion here in 2024. We've got Don't Do This at 7:20. Rindle Report in the second half of the show. All of our usual features, and it's good to have Woodsy back here on a Tuesday, but we're definitely going to kind of start by talking about Jackson Merrill. And I don't want this entire show to sound like we're just whining about the results.
I'm not. I'm over it.
And you know, why the writers picked Paul Skeens over Jackson Merrill.
Why our local writer picked Paul Skeens over Jackson Merrill.
I mean, both the San Diego writers did pick, fortunately, Jackson Merrill.
Who did?
The two that were from San Diego.
Oh, but Barry's
actually the Phoenix writer.
Oh, he's the Phoenix.
Yeah, he gets one of the votes in Phoenix but the two San Diego writers. But Jackson only got five first place votes.
I thought it was seven
outside
of San Diego.
Only five, and that did shock me that it wasn't a little bit closer around the rest of the country. I was genuinely surprised. I wasn't surprised that Paul Skeens won.
Yeah.
I was genuinely surprised that there weren't another six or seven writers who were like, no, I got to go with the guy who, you know, played all season.
Clutch God.
Helped his team to the postseason.
Clutch God.
Learned a new
God.
Position.
Yes.
And, you know, was out there for the entire year. So we will talk about that coming up next. Let's take a quick timeout, and we'll get into some extended thoughts on the results yesterday of the National League Rookie of the Year voting. That's coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So A.J. Preller does not win the Executive of the Year award. I don't know that I'm going to be more outraged about anything than that one. To me, that was the biggest already error of the postseason awards in Major League Baseball.
Well, I think Schilty and Preller are like 1 and 1A, right? I mean, because you cut $92 million, you traded Juan Soto, and you had to really do some patchwork action to get the team, you know, ready to play on opening day, Ben. And then the moves that Preller made at the deadline obviously helped propel us to where we were. But there needs to be a guy that comes in and runs the ship, takes that cut payroll, builds a new culture. I feel like I'm going to be just as pissy when Schilt loses it to Pat Murphy tonight.
Well, and I agree with you, because if Matt Arnold, who won the GM of the Year award, the Executive of the Year award over A.J. Preller, if he did all the heavy lifting in Milwaukee, then are you going to give that award then to Pat Murphy? Or if you think that AJ, I guess, didn't do enough and it must have been all Mike Schilt, then don't you have to give the award to kind of Mike Schilt today? Somehow you feel like the Padres are going to come out on the short end. And that really is, I think, what is bothering the fan base here.
We said yesterday we were hoping for a split. If you can get a split between Merrill and Schilt, Manager of the Year, Rookie of the Year, now I don't know.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but I feel like this is heading down the road where the Padres are going to get shut out here. And honestly, it does feel like there is a, I don't know if it's a conscious anti-Padres bias around the league. But there's it may be subconscious. Something about the San Diego Padres rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, it's been happening. It happened. Peter Seidler rubbed all the owners the wrong way when he decided to, you know, spend money on players. That was a big no-no to Bob Nutting and Dick Manfard and the rest. And it inspired other teams to go out and spend money. Yeah, and so I look, we always feel that way, you know, but I think being objective, there's something. You've seen the way that Brian Kenny has talked about this team. You've seen it. You've seen what Ken Rosenthal has done to this team. You've seen it. You've read it. It's right there. Right there for you to read. So it's I understand when people are like, oh, keep crying. All right, man, but like if you really, whatever fan base, if you're a Guardians fan or a Yankee fan or a Dodger fan, take those glasses off and just look at what Brian Kenny said. Look at what Ken Rosenthal wrote and tell me that there's not something there.
Yeah, Jackson Merrill not winning the Rookie of the Year award is not the crime of the century.
Correct.
In
it's
Major
not.
League Baseball.
It's
Again,
not.
Paul Skenes is a worthy recipient of that award this year. But I think it's just another piece of evidence that has been compiling over the last few years since, you know, Peter Seidler took over the team, since Manny Machado joined the Padres, since Fernando Tatis Jr. burst onto the scene. The Padres rub a lot of people in baseball the wrong way.
Yeah, and the it's an important distinction. The people in baseball, what they've been able to do as far as growing their fan base, and really that's what counts. You know, it counts when Fernando bust on the scene or Manny got signed or whatever. And then Jackson Merrill, to see how people have gravitated towards those certain players has been phenomenal. And it's done wonders for the brand of the San Diego Padres. And, you know, they Mud and Don, anytime we play in Cincinnati, you know, they'll always make the point of saying, look how many friggin' Padres hats are here. They want to see Fernando. They want to see Manny. They want to see Jackson Merrill, Luis Arraez, guys like that. They've done a great job in winning over little kids, Ben, from other markets, right? Like, that's what counts. It's like, yeah, I mean, my dad's a Reds fan, but I sure love Fernando Tatis Jr., and that's the team I'm going to root for. And that's really all that counts. Is you keep doing that, you're doing the right thing.
So, you know, how bad was it? How of a mistake was it? We can discuss that. We will get to it right after a quick check of traffic here with Kelly on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Okay, so the Market Street on-ramp to northbound 805 remains shut down for investigation of that collision, which several Caltrans workers were struck by a vehicle around 3:15 this morning. So, yeah, if you normally take that on-ramp, do give yourself a little extra time. Market Street on-ramp to northbound 805 still shut down. And guess what? North 805 before Mesa College, we have reports of a ladder in that right lane. Also going to find a collision on the Hamishaw Road on-ramp to northbound 125. And Kelly Danik with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
The big thing for me, Woods, is I like to have things just make sense. And I understand generally even how baseball writers kind of tend to think about the game. I've seen it in the past. I've seen it work against the Padres in the past. And I tweeted about it yesterday, all the way back to 1998 when Trevor Hoffman was denied the Cy Young Award. And it was given to Tom Glavine, who had a good but not great season, ostensibly because he was a starting pitcher. He impacted his club more than Trevor could in the ninth inning, even though Trevor had an historically good season as a closer. And Glavin just had a really good season as a starting pitcher. They went with the guy who had, you know, more of the impact, pitched more innings, was out there more for his team.
Sure.
Fine. If that's the rationale, then that's the rationale. And I can't really argue with that. But here, with the Rookie of the Year this year, they went the opposite way. Jackson Merrill clearly had the more outsized impact on his team. Really, in every way. Playing time, every single day, leadership, pushing his team to the playoff appearance, impacting his team's season. Paul Skenes was more, perhaps, spectacular on an individual level.
Yes.
But that's not generally what sways the baseball writer. So why in this instance did they go completely opposite of the way in the past they have tended to vote for this award?
That's such a good question, and one that I don't know that you'll ever really get an answer to. And I brought up Barry Bloom earlier, And he essentially said, I'll read you his comment last night. If I can find it. We have time. We have like hours. Yeah, I'll take my time. I'm not worried about it. maybe not.
You good, Benny?
Yeah, I'm fine. I want to be patient with Woods today. You know, we're just glad he's here.
I thought I bookmarked it. I didn't. So F me, I guess. All right, I'll come back to it. Go ahead.
So anyway,
just threw a huge monkey wrench.
Would you like me to read it?
Yeah, do you have it?
Said.
You can't find it either.
I think it deleted.
He might have deleted it.
I think I got deleted.
Yeah, it's gone.
Take your time. That's fine.
It's gone.
No, it literally got deleted.
It's not there anymore. But essentially it said, hey, he did everything that he was supposed to do. He was the number one pick and made an impact, made a bigger impact. And I disagree with. It doesn't matter where he was picked. Right? That doesn't matter to me.
Which shouldn't.
If you're going to take that into account, then why aren't you taking into account that my man Jackson Merrill literally switched positions? Like they said, yeah, I know you play short. You play center field now. And he came in and played a really nice center field for the San Diego Padres and didn't affect his hitting in any way. You've seen it go after veterans like Xander Bogaerts. Like, well, surely I can't hit now because I moved to second base and I'm worrying about the transition. This kid is a rookie making his debut. So it doesn't really matter where Paul Skenes was picked. Like, some would say, all right, yeah, you're supposed to be really good. You're the first pick in the draft. I'll give it to the guy again. You're talking about an everyday player. You're talking about one of the most clutch, if not the most clutch player in Major League Baseball this season. So that's what stands out to me is like the everyday guy should get the nod, the guy with the most impact. You mostly impact your team. You impact your team the most by being on the field every day. It's not Paul Skenes' fault that he only pitches every 5 days, but that's the way that it is. And he is a phenomenal talent. You guys know how I feel about
it. All right, here's the tweet. I found it. He didn't delete it. It's still there.
There you go.
He was responding to someone named Mike, who said, did you write about the decision anywhere? I'd like to know your reasoning. And he said, I couldn't write about it. We're sworn to secrecy until the vote is announced. I will say, I thought Skenes had the numbers, was the first pick in the draft, and made a national impact. Nothing against Merrill. He had a terrific year coming out of nowhere.
The national impact he made that's true. Like, for example, if on a Wednesday afternoon, the Pirates were playing the Cubs, because that's who he pitched against the most. They said, hey, the Paul Skenes is on. And I would say on these airwaves, get to a TV and watch Paul Skenes.
I love Paul Skenes.
He's got really, really good stuff, and he's fun to watch. And he is. You know, he is. He absolutely is a great pitcher.
He also has great social media presence.
100%.
You know, he's promoting baseball and advancing the sport. All good things that we support as well on this show.
Does he have a great social media presence, or does his girlfriend have a social media presence? Because I don't remember ever seeing a Paul Skenes post. And going,
it may not be his account, but it's him. And you know, you're seeing him a ton, and it's his world, and he's promoting baseball, which is great. Absolutely great. Should have nothing to do with the National League Rookie of the Year award. In fact, if I was one of the voters, I'd be extra careful to make sure I was not trying to be swayed or opinionated by that at all.
Yeah.
I would really like lean the other way to make sure I'm just going by, all right, how do I usually vote for this award? What do I really value in a season and in a player? And generally, what I've seen is that writers value the position players more than a pitcher who made, you know, 22 starts over the course of the season, which is why, to me, it just didn't make a lot of sense. Now, you can complain about Barry. His was not the deciding vote.
No.
It wasn't 16-14.
Right.
It wasn't even close.
It was just it was that logic that didn't make sense to me.
It was 23-7. Now, it doesn't really matter how close it is. If every single writer said, I have it at 51-49% in favor of Paul Skeens. He can win the vote 30-0, and it's still an incredibly close vote. If every single writer came down just to a just like a hair's difference between the two players. So the final vote count doesn't mean a lot. I would have been shocked if Jackson Merrill had won a 23-7.
Yeah,
I was thinking it was probably going to come down to a vote or two either way. So it was a little more lopsided than I expected it to be. But in, you know, in the big scheme, it doesn't matter what the final vote total was. It's just the fact that I don't understand that particular rationale, or other than the fact, I mean, if you say, I just thought Paul Skeens was the most spectacular player in a great season, that's fine. That's, you're allowed to have that opinion. It's not a wrong opinion. If you value what he did because his ERA was under two, and he was, is, you know, one of the nastiest pitchers in baseball. Yeah, that's a real argument to vote for Paul Skeens. But in terms of being the first draft pick and having a national impact, I don't see those as arguments for voting for Paul Skeens.
I mean, if impact, again, is the word you want to use, give me the guy that impacts the game every single day. How many games did Jackson play this year?
156.
156 games as a rookie, switching positions. That's pretty outstanding, man. 156 games, new position, clutch god. I mean, clutch god. He was spectacular in so many late inning situations. And you know, I was really bummed because he's taken this city by storm, and you see the effects of Jackson Merrill. Not that Paul Skeens hasn't done the same in Pittsburgh. I'm sure there's a lot of kids trying to grow a mustache and get a really, really hot girlfriend because of Paul Skeens right now. But it's obviously I'm going to be a little bit swayed when you see little kids wanting to take balls in the outfield now instead of just the infield because of Jackson Merrill. His impact is huge, and the impact he had on his teammates, the impact he had on that clubhouse. That clubhouse isn't, we are not where we are. We didn't get as far as we get without him there. We just don't. And that's impact to me.
I was watching MLB Network yesterday, and after the award show, MLB Now or whatever it is, with Brian Kenny and Buck Showalter, they were talking about it, and they both agreed. They thought Merrill should have won it.
Yeah.
He would have gotten their votes. And they said something. I think it was Brian Kenny said something like, talking about Paul Skeens, and he goes, now look, Paul Skeens is a regular season award. You know, his team didn't get to the playoffs. That's obviously not his fault.
Right.
That's true. It's not one pitcher's fault that a crappy team like the Pirates doesn't make it to the playoffs. But I heard that and I go, well, Jackson Merrill, his team did make it to the playoffs.
Correct.
I know it's a regular season award, but his team did make it to the playoffs and it was his fault.
It was his fault. Yeah. I mean, it was as much his fault as anyone's that team was in the postseason.
Like, how is that not such a driving factor?
And think about, too, guys, think about the reactions of if it had been Jackson Merrill, if they had panned to a room with AJ Preller and his crew in it. What would their reaction have been? Jubilation. Just joy, screaming, champagne. You go to Pittsburgh when Paul Skeens won it, I can promise you, Bob Nutting was like, son of a bitch. We just lost a year of control with this guy. We're going to have to trade him early. Now his price is, you know, like, it's
one
just
year closer to being
one year
a
closer to being a Yankee or a Dodger.
Yeah, so just quick, Ben, explain that. The player promotion system, the incentive system that Major League Baseball set up, because Paul Skeens was not on the roster to start the year, the Pirates were ineligible to get that bonus draft pick. The Padres were. Had Jackson Merrill won the Rookie of the Year award, they would have gotten an extra first-round pick at the end of the upcoming draft. And that's a real value for the San Diego Padres. It's actually, for a lot of people, that's the biggest disappointment of yesterday. You can be sad for Jackson, should have won the award. Actually does hurt the Padres organization that they didn't win it. And it also hurts the Pirates organization that they did, because they left Paul Skeens off the roster for a very simple reason. They didn't want to have to pay him after 6 years. You can manipulate service time, keep his clock from starting, but because he won the Rookie of the Year, you erase all that, and he gets a full year of service time as the Rookie of the Year. So the Pirates were thwarted, the Padres were thwarted, and ultimately, it's kind of a bad outcome for both organizations that Paul Skeens won the award.
Well, and again, you know, Jeff says, did Merrill still get a year of service time? Yeah, bro, he broke camp with the team. He was
We weren't trying to hide that.
And he played all year. He gets the year of service because he served a year.
He served a year. And I'll tell you this, man, you can say what you want about A.J. Preller and the San Diego Padres. They don't do this crap. They don't do it. They don't mess.
Didn't do it with Fernando.
They didn't do it. When they see a guy that they know is ready, it's worth it to them to win the actual games on the field than to go in and screw with a guy's service time. They don't do it. They just don't.
And I still remember, was it 2019?
I respect the hell out of that. I really do, and always have.
Remember when Peter Seidler said, like, Manny and Hosmer and a couple other veterans, they came to him and said, Fernando, and I think even Paddock, and maybe at the time, they're like, he needs to be on the opening day roster.
100%. We're trying to win.
Peter said, if we get to the end, and we know how 2019 ended, but of course, at the beginning of the year, you're always excited and you have big dreams. And he goes, if we got to the end of the season and we missed the playoffs by one, two, or three games.
You're trying to save a year.
Because we held Fernando back 3 weeks or a month or whatever. Yeah. He goes, I wouldn't be able to live with myself.
Cubs and Chris Bryant, man, is the best example going out there. And Padres don't do it. Whatever concerted effort they made, they sat in a room one day and said, we got to be different. We cannot do what the Pirates do and what the Rockies do and what the Cubs are doing. We have to be different. And let's be honest, what the Pirates are doing.
And that is one of the philosophies that, going back to where I started, has made the Padres somewhat of pariahs in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. They're outsiders. They do things differently. And in some way, you know, consciously or subconsciously, the Padres get punished for coloring outside the lines a little bit of what all the other teams think is the right, proper, responsible way to do baseball. Padres do it a different way. And people don't like that.
Yep.
And that's what we're seeing a little bit here in award season. I got a couple more thoughts, including the awards presenter and how that played out yesterday, as well as the American League winner. We'll get to that and take on Woods coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.